The Boys in the Woods Podcast. The show your mother warned you about and that your dad was hiding in the basement listening to. Get ready for the Boys in the Woods Podcast.
Yeah, there's a little bear guy up there. Why is there a little bear guy up there, everybody? Welcome back.
Welcome back.
We are only 5 days, technically 4 days away from the NFL draft. Pretty freaking pumped about Thursday.
The draft is Thursday.
Does it start at 7? What time is it? 7, 7:30? Something about around that time.
Let's get this established.
I believe it's later. You guys are an hour behind us, so
no,
it's gonna be
we're the same time.
Yeah. Nice, same time.
Yeah,
same place.
6:30.
Yeah, 6:30, and it basically runs for 2.5 hours. So we're gonna have lots of time to break this down. We do need to figure out how we're going to coordinate this, where we have the draft board up at the same time. I think what we're going to have to do is quite possibly change the configuration around on the screen.
Yeah.
So that we can have the draft board up there and watch.
Yeah.
Is that,
are you going to be doing like an updated ticker like you guys got where you put the draft, whoever drafts what you type it in?
I should be doing that. Maybe we'll just do that and we'll watch it ourselves.
I think that would be better instead of doing a whole board and like trying to track and remove. If you just keep updating the ticker when draft picks happen, because there's enough time between a selection and the next selection that you have
3 to 5 minutes. I think they got.
Yeah, Charles is pretty good about keeping us up to date on who's who. He did a pretty good job with the WNBA.
And plus, not only do you got 3 to 5 minutes, you also have commercial breaks on top of those 3 to 5 minutes between the picks. So.
Sure. Well, we're all going to critique the picks anyways, it matters.
It'll give us time to talk about the picks as they happen and stuff like that.
All right, you guys want to talk about draft away? Charles wanted to talk about the draft. I've been seeing more and more, I don't know about you, more and more that Joe Alt keeps falling. Is there any reason for this? He's fallen all the way down to 12 on some boards.
I think it's situational. I think it remains... And
does that
continues.
Mean that San Diego doesn't want him?
Are they trading down?
Here's my favorite thing about the draft, right? After the draft combine, I don't listen to anything other than myself. Because there's nothing but smoke, hot air, and what this person did on a fucking pro day over what they just did on game tapes, in games, in real-time situations.
For years.
It's like this magical fucking pro day happens, and somehow or another, that singular moment speaks louder than everything they've proved on the field. I give two tits less. And my original thought process especially after the combine, seeing where the Chargers are, what they have to do and what they're dealing with, is that they can help themselves more by trading out of the number 5 pick than anything they can grab realistically. The Chargers are on a 3-4 year clock right now. They got cap space hell. Harbaugh's coming in and fixing a damaged franchise. I truly believe that the Chargers pass out. And with the Chargers passing out, it's going to pop a whole bunch of smoke. And I think a lot of that music falls on Washington, which is somebody we're going to be talking about later on in the show, as they reside in the NFC East, I believe it is. Mm-hmm. Correct? Yes. Yeah. But I do. I think Washington is sticking with Drake May up until the magical pro day. It was Drake May. Any argument?
No. When this whole process started a while ago, Drake May was the consensus number 2 pick. And now, like you said, pro day happened. Jaden Daniels showed a little bit of athleticism. And then people got him jumping, including me. I think from what Washington wants to do, based on their coaching, I think Jaden Daniels is the way to go.
Me too.
I still think Jaden Daniels should go number 2. But I'm with you, Charles. 9 times out of 10, it's going to be Drake May just because
he's a bigger quarterback. He's a prototypical quarterback where he's over 6'3", he's 200 some odd pounds, he's got a big arm. So it makes sense that people are putting him at number two, but look at who their OC is. Their OC works almost specifically with dual threat quarterbacks. So taking Jaden Daniels based on their offensive coordinator hire, I think is the smartest decision.
Well, either way, May's going either two or three. It's just
let me ask you this. I'm with Patrick on this because he's brought this up I don't know how many times. If you can't beat the guy that was already there previously in college, how are you
supposedly he was better than him.
But how are you going to be better than him in the pros in the same – I'm not saying the same system, but
– It would be the same system because it was Sam Howell, and if he goes to Washington, it's freaking Drake May. It's the same system he's going into.
So, again, Jaden Daniels gives you a little bit different type of play in a system that direly needs somebody to light up the field. And I think, again –
If you are going off of arm strength and ability to throw the ball in a good arm, you take Drake May all day long. Absolutely. If you're thinking you're looking for a guy that can sneak out of the pocket and get things done, you're talking about Jaden Daniels. But if you're talking about a guy like Charles brings this up all the time, probably the guy that's going to last the longest in the NFL, you're talking about Drake May.
And I'll give you that.
I want to add a little bit of color for our listeners. Now, before Jaden Daniels went to LSU and threw to wide receivers like Malik Nabers and Michael Thomas Jr., right? He wasn't on anybody's radar. Let's be honest. Not a top 10 radar. And if we want to dive deep, maybe 15 to 25. Okay, maybe. So regardless. So now we're talking about this same pro day where he was throwing to those athletes not covered named Nabers and Michael Thomas Jr., that's going to make anybody look good, right? Caleb Williams without Jordan Addison, how did he look? Without Jordan Addison, people are actually questioning out loud whether or not Caleb Williams should be number one. But you've got Jaden Daniels with no gear, no pressure, no time, no restraints, throwing to the best wide receiver on most people's books and another top five wide receiver on everyone else's books. But then you've got the North Carolina Pro Day. Who is he throwing to?
Same people everybody else
doing. Oh, Tez Walker.
Okay.
Which Tez Walker's a fantastic, solid second round pickup. I think he's slotted on most people's big boards.
Where's Malik Nabers going?
Four? Five, six? Like,
so we're talking about the difference between a top 10 NFL pick and a solid second round pick. So I love it. Okay. I love it. So again, this is the hype on these pro days. So
divisions in football too.
Before the pro day and before the combine, who was the number two? There was the tribute, heart, hashtag love.
Yeah.
Before the combine and before the pro day, who was number two?
You already know how I feel about the combine and the pro day.
Yeah, absolutely.
He brought it. That was the first thing he brought up today is that he doesn't give a shit about that.
It's a piece of shit.
Yeah. So without that and here's the other kicker too. If I'm the Patriots or the number four pick or I have the ability to get into that area of operation – I want the team ahead of me to take Jaden Daniels. You bet your ass I do.
Here's the other thing, though.
I want my guy to fall back to me. So
he didn't just win the Heisman. He dominated the Heisman, too. So there is that.
Yeah, but here's the counter I have for that real quick. Here's the problem. The Heisman has become a what position award as of lately? A quarterback award, right?
But that's what we're talking about.
But let me say, this is why I don't wait the Heisman as high as other people do. Because if you're a quarterback, you just have to be the best quarterback, right? But if you're somebody like Devontae Smith, not only do you have to be the best receiver in the country, you have to beat all of the best quarterbacks in the country to win that award. So that's what I'm saying. Well. On a quarterback, when we're talking about talent evaluation on a quarterback, I don't think Heisman matters nearly as much as it does for a skill position, running back, wide receiver, tight end. If those three win it, then it counts a little more because not only do you have to be the best in your position group, you have to be better than the best quarterbacks in the country. So Jaden Daniels' Heisman was fantastic and he had a crazy dominant year, but that doesn't mean nearly as much to me as, like Charles said, you are throwing to two consensus, not debated, consensus top 10 receivers in the country. So I think it's a little different.
And not to take away from this young man, because he's very talented. And I've said many times, I think in the right position, he could be great. But when you have that top 10, top 5 talent around you, if you aren't putting up the best numbers in the country, I don't know if this is hurting or helping my conversation, but it seems like when you're able to throw to a top 3, top 5 wide receiver, you have a pretty easy road at the Heisman. Again, the most recent in my mind, Joe Burrow with Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, he's fine in the NFL now, isn't he?
But he also has Jamar Chase, which he also threw to at LSU when they won the national championship, and he won the Heisman, and heals the records for most passing yards and touchdowns in a season.
So, how many?
Yeah, but he didn't have as good of a season as Jaden Daniels had in college football, though. We can go back and forth on this all day long. The problem is exactly what Mike brought up. It's gotten to a point where it's not as flashy. It's not as cool looking anymore.
You definitely can't hold the Heisman as this top tier award, especially for quarterbacks. Because
they're chasing it.
Well,
it's not just that. In the last 20 years, right? Quarterback-wise, that have won the Heisman, how do they fare in the NFL? And I'm not saying that they
haven't done very well.
I'm not saying that they all fall off, but it's not a lot of, in the last 20, 30 years, QBs that have won the Heisman that have come into the pros and actually...
It's definitely not in their favor.
Here's a hot take. I think the Heisman is more of a team award than an individual award because of the attention it's getting solely on the quarterback. I don't know of a single quarterback that wins football games. I know of many quarterbacks that lose football games, right? Yeah. But a great quarterback puts his team in position to be great and allows his great athletes around him to make great plays. And somehow that gets projected onto a player that literally puts the ball in a 50-50 at best position, most times in a 60-40, not in your favor position.
Yeah.
How did we end up glorifying this? They should have their own award, and the individual talent, the individual effort that's allowing that quarterback to shine should have more of the attention.
They should do away with the Doak Walker and all these other awards and just make there be one universal award. The Heisman has become, like you said, nothing but a quarterback award. Yeah, do they invite usually a wide receiver? Sure, but he's got no shot of winning the thing.
Absolutely. Aiden Hutchinson there.
He got invited, it was just a token. Yeah. It was a token, send the guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, the Heisman is, again, it's great. It'll help you definitely for sure get into the College Football Hall of Fame probably. Right. But it's not going to get you anywhere. I'm like, does it give you a little notoriety if you're going into the draft next year? Yeah.
There's never
a little flex.
It guarantees you getting drafted. Come on, let's be honest. There's never not been a Heisman that hasn't gotten drafted.
Oh, absolutely. Tim Tebow.
It's what happens after you get drafted. Are you actually... Yeah. Yes, you might have been the year before you got drafted the best college player in college football.
It guarantees you a 4-year paycheck in the NFL. That's all it does.
Yeah,
but that's not saying that you're going to translate into the pros. And
oh no, like Charles just said it, Tim Tebow.
Yeah,
a lot of them too.
Trent Richardson, Troy Smith,
a name that Mike loves. I can't believe he doesn't own a jersey of this guy, Trevor Lawrence.
Did he win the Heisman?
Yeah, Pretty Boy Floyd won the Heisman.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Are we sure about that?
Yeah.
Are we sure?
Them golden locks, there's no way the NCAA wasn't putting that face on TV.
I don't think he won.
I hope I'm wrong.
I'm about to check.
I can't
Trevor
wait.
Lawrence? I believe Trevor he Lawrence. Won it the year. I think he won it the year that they won the national championship.
Not a one. No.
Man, why do I see him holding the trophy?
Because he probably was in the running a couple times, but he never won. Yeah.
He's not in any of the commercials, no.
And I hear keyboard warriors going out over here. Click. No, we got nothing.
Crazy. Coming up empty. This is how we keep the show accurate. This is how we keep the show lively. And this is how we keep the talking points moving forward. Because if you just sit here and if you're just playing tennis against the Drapes, it's not going to get a very good return.
So then let me ask you this then. Let me ask you this. All right. So let's keep it on Trevor Lawrence.
I'm so glad I got to use that.
So
against the Drapes analogy, that's
fine. Okay. Okay. So let's do this Trevor Lawrence bit for a second, because we know how Mike feels about Trevor Lawrence. He's about as dog shit as dog water can be dog shit.
Yeah, I think with the right coaching staff, he could be great.
Okay, so this guy's college career. Let's just go over his career, right? Freshman of the year, offensive rookie of the year, offensive player of the year, ACC player of the year, ACC athlete, Archie Griffin Award. When he won the championship, he got MVP.
Yeah.
Cool. Great. Guess what he's done since? Guess what he's done accolades-wise since he joined the league? He's gotten one Pro Bowl bid.
Yeah.
And we know how Mike feels about Pro Bowls. They ain't shit.
Here's the problem. Here's the problem with Trevor Lawrence. He got put in an absolutely dog shit situation, and it seems like he's fine with it. He's fine with it.
I think he's just chilling. He's just big chilling. It did take him a really long time to lose on a Saturday, though.
But this goes back to Charles' take on Russell Wilson last week. Is he? Or is the team around him better?
I don't know. I give him a few more years before I'll say that he's completely washed up. As far, he's definitely not panning out. If you want to say that, you can say that all day long. He's not good.
Yeah, he's not going to put the team on your shoulders.
Yeah, he's right here, and good is up here, and great is up there.
I think that's where Trevor Lawrence ends up falling. Right, he can play with the lead very well. He cannot lose you the game, but he's got sub 35% chance to win you the game, depending on the talent around him.
And this is the thing. He's in a division that technically he has a chance to win every year, because that whole – from the Colts
he
to
did.
Jaguars.
Yeah.
It's Colts, yeah. Jaguars, Texans, and who else is up there?
Shit, not anymore.
Titans, Jaguars, Texans, Colts. That is probably one of the – he should have had at least a couple of division titles by now.
Yeah, the last few years before that, but now the Texans are taking that division now.
We always thought Trevor Lawrence was still going to be at some point the quarterback of the AFC South, and now he might be the worst in the AFC South.
Yeah, do we allow the understanding of the Jordan effect? He is in the AFC. He's trying to do things during Patrick Mahomes' reign.
But so did Peyton. Peyton was doing the same shit with Tom Brady. So, again,
So we're talking – so the book has not been written on Trevor then? Because what if he wins the Super Bowl in the next 6 years?
I said you got to give him a few more years.
Yeah.
It's well possible. Again, you were right, Patrick. The first couple years, especially you started off with Urban Meyer, and that was just a big-ass shit show.
Yeah, that was terrible. I think that might have had a lot to do with it. There's so much nasty shit going on at that team, with that team and all that stuff was going on.
Now they have a competent head coach in Doug
Urban Meyer.
Yeah, he fucked that team up bad.
Listen, that boy, we was questioning all his skills while Urban was there.
Yeah.
Everything was in question. And then, I'll give him a couple more years.
Do you think that was because he chose Dabo Sweeney over Urban?
Well,
do you think Urban was like, fuck you, you should have played at Ohio State?
That's a new level of petty if he did it.
Hey, that's Urban Meyer. That's definitely the realm where Urban lives. Come on, man. Remember how you said no to Ohio State, motherfucker? Good luck having a career in the NFL as long as I'm here.
He's a slime ball.
To get the attitude and the character that we got in Jacksonville and seeing him back as a commentator, it's
like, man, they got pictures of him on the sideline with people sitting on his lap,
trying to slide into that one lady's DMs, that one cheerleader. Did you see him creeping out the girl? He was like staring at her while her skirt.
Yeah, I'll meet you guys back at the hotel. I gotta go to the bar.
I'm Urban fucking Meyer.
Yeah, I gotta go to the bar real quick.
Give me back 5. In the room.
He's that guy in Kill Bill. My name's Buck. I like to fuck. That's Urban Meyer.
It was Buck. I like to fuck.
So he gets what, 2 more years of grace?
Yeah. Probably. Yeah, I'll give him 2 more years.
Trevor Lawrence the same treatment.
I'm saying that. How long does Trevor Lawrence got left in his career? That's what I'm saying.
It depends on him.
Career? I think
he nice.
No, look, honestly, no bullshit. I think Trevor Lawrence's ceiling is starting to look more and more like Derek Carr. And his floor is starting to look like Brock Osweiler. I don't think he's better than Derek Carr, but I think two more years as a starter in Jacksonville, if you can't get it done then, you're relegated to a backup. You're going to be Carson Wentz.
Yeah, I'll be a backup quarterback for sure.
Yeah.
He won't ride with mediocrity.
No, I think he'll be a really good backup quarterback.
Yeah.
But I have never, ever bought the hype around Trevor Lawrence being the prince who was promised. Get the fuck out of here with that shit. I watched Trevor Lawrence back in the day. There was this ESPN show, some high school football show, where it was showing these five-star recruits from different high schools training before college.
Number one, that.
And Trevor Lawrence looked average. He was like, okay, he's smart. He could take a hit. But his arm strength isn't that much better than anybody else's in the NFL. He doesn't make better reads than anybody else in the NFL. He doesn't escape the pocket. He's not, you know, known for his ball security. Like Trevor Lawrence, I think, and especially now, his seat and Doug Peterson's seat in Jacksonville have got to be hot as fuck. Because, yes, you get the first-year pass of Urban Meyer coming in and smacking the shit out of the owner and doing whatever he wanted to do. But that's been what? This will be 3 years ago now?
Urban Meyer gone?
Yeah. Two or three, at least.
I think it's been a year and some change.
I thought it was way longer than that.
Does he probably have the softest hair in the NFL?
I'm like, it flows like it.
The only reason I brought this up is because I was going to say, Mike, that's what makes him so soft.
Yeah.
He's got the softest hair in the NFL. He looks like a little prima donna out there. I think of him as a guy like who's probably way more arrogant in the huddle even than he is on the sidelines. Yeah.
Yeah. He's not the type. And look, I don't want to assassinate a man's character. I don't know him like that. So off the field, that's whatever. But on the field, I just don't think – I think he got the reverse treatment of Baker Mayfield from the media. When Baker was getting drafted, you had people shitting on him constantly and constantly. Just, oh, he's not as good as people think he is. And then Baker comes in.
Has another year that like he had last year.
I think this is the thing, but I think Trevor Lawrence got the reverse of that, where it was like, oh, he's a generational quarterback. He could be Peyton Manning or Tom Brady. First off, that kind of pressure on a kid coming out of college is ridiculous. It's insanity. You're talking about him possibly being as good as somebody who won seven Super Bowls. Nah, that's crazy. And two, the first year he played, I was like, I told everybody his mechanics look like shit. His footwork is not great. Like, you could tell he is a stand-in-the-pocket statue quarterback. And unfortunately, those kind of quarterbacks who can't extend the play, they don't survive anymore. It's not that kind of league. Defenses are going to kill you all the time now. Like, your edge rushers aren't 340 pounds now. They're 240 pounds now.
Are we all in agreement that we should just abolish this generational quarterback comment? Like, period?
Yes.
Yes. I absolutely hate it. I know that Paul is absolutely in favor of it because all it does is put this giant hype cloud over top of your player, and he's got to lift this up every time he goes out into the huddle. It's fucking terrible.
No kid out of college should have that much pressure on their shoulders. I don't care what position, whether it's quarterback, running back. It doesn't, to say that you're a generational type player, you're like once in a generation, like that sentence – means a lot to some fans and some teams.
Because you know exactly the last player I'm thinking of when they said this, right? It's LBJ, LeBron James is the last person they said this about. No, he's the last player that they said this about. I guess Wemby now, but
I don't even think the pressure on Wemby was as great as LeBron's.
Oh no, because Wemby had professional experience in France. Well, sure, now Brandon's like, not the NBA.
So he can just dunk over it anyway.
So he had a lot of variables that make him know that he's going to be great. LeBron, as great as he was in high school, he wasn't the stature that he is now as far as weight and muscle that he has. So he had to prove a lot. And then again, it's at that time, basketball, you were coming out of college after 2-3 years. It was almost unheard of coming out of college or even out of high school and being as great as they expected LeBron to be. Nobody had that kind of hype coming out of high school.
Speaking of NBA hype, Charles, you want to transition us into the NBA playoff hype here then?
Who's got the
hype? The fact that Milwaukee's up 19 on Indiana right now with 8 minutes left in the first
half. I saw you opening your mouth and going,
without Giannis right now, they're 42-23.
They're without Giannis for 2 to 3 weeks, so they wouldn't even have him until they make the championship.
Yeah,
the conference championship, like game five.
We don't need him.
We don't need him.
We need him for the win. We got Dame time for the first round, baby. It's Dame time.
I forgot that Dame Lillard plays.
Goddamn Dame time. This is what I tell everybody. Everybody gets all hyped up about this regular season bullcrap, right?
Well, you guys were debating this, and I never got in on it because I was at work.
Yeah.
But I think you guys brought up the whole Defensive Player of the Year award, and we were all like, dude, why not Wemby?
Right.
Why not Rookie of the Year, and why not the Defensive Player of the Year? He has the stats, the blocks, the defensive rating.
Did y'all see somebody just highlighted something on a clip I saw on YouTube. It's Wemby. It was a 3-on-1 fast break against Wemby from the Hawks. And Wemby stands in the paint, and they refuse to go into the paint. And he just stands there, and they just pass the ball between the three. When's the last time you've ever seen that happen in a professional game?
I don't think anybody's – well, Patrick Ewing, when he used to just stand in the lane, he was like 350 pounds. So, yeah, you got out of his way. But I never seen a player avoid anybody like that.
So here I'm about to blow y'all's mind. This is not talked about enough. Victor Wembanyama averages 23.7 minutes a game.
How much?
Yeah.
24 minutes a game.
Yeah,
he's putting up all these
with
stats.
Time management, yeah.
Coach Pop already said that he wasn't going to play him like that. And even with the limited playing of 2.5 quarters worth of time, he's still putting on ridiculous numbers.
Yes, so that's like, what I'm trying to highlight. Yes, absolutely.
So like not having him considered for Defensive Player of the Year is crazy.
You got to think, by the end of next year, he'll have another 12 minutes of playing time. He'll basically have another 50% added on to what he's playing. He'll be at around 35 minutes a game.
And imagine if he put a little weight on his body.
That's what I'm saying. That when he gets to that mark will be when he's able to build the body. I think he's doing well, to be honest with you.
The little frame that he has.
Yeah.
He's that guy who's not on social media. He thinks and eats basketball.
If you put 20 pounds of muscle on that kid over a year, obviously it's not going to happen quick, but
yeah,
if you put 20 pounds of muscle on him, the kid is going to eat people alive.
I'm thinking, what's he got, like a 9-foot
wingspan
body.
Or something like that?
Yeah.
If he could get to a Dirk Nowitzki frame,
give him even maybe 10 pounds heavier than Dirk, like maybe a Porzingis, a little bit heavier like that. The kid is an athletic freak. His handles are crazy. His shot, like, I get the hype around him. And Paul can tell you this. Before he got drafted, I was in our other chat, like, he's overrated.
I was a big critic. Ask Charles. I was a big critic.
When it came to Wemby,
I was bad. I told him, I said, he's going to be a freaking dud.
You guys want to get into this? You want me to? You brought me here. You brought me here. The draft and the NBA is fucking rigged. That's all there is to it. That's all I can tell you on draft day in the NBA. It's fucking rigged.
So we're all in agreement here that is he the best player in the NBA? Absolutely not. Was he the best defensive player in the NBA this year? Probably. Yeah. Probably.
And I hate to agree with Kendrick Perkins, but here when you can't be considered the defensive player of the year if you're not in the game in the last 3-4 minutes because you're a liability.
I think that's valid.
Hashtag Rudy Gobert.
Yeah, Gobert, I don't understand.
That doesn't make sense. That dude.
That's like even the same.
Because he has.
Rudy Gobert.
He has the ability.
Charles.
Yeah.
Dude, Lamar Jackson. Gobert has. Yeah. He has all the talent.
He's not
in
the game
in
clutch time. I know. Yeah.
Yeah, no shit. He's got the talent. He's got the weight. The dude could be a stalwart in the paint, but he refuses to harden up and just take a hit or two or just put his body on somebody. Shaq, look, I know Shaq is a freak of nature, and that's a crazy example, right? But Shaq, when Shaq defended somebody, he put his whole fucking body on him and said, if you're going to come through me, you're going to have to go through me, period. Same thing with Patrick Ewing. Same thing. These great defenders. Gobert just is so soft in the paint. Like, people can score on Gobert.
This is the thing. I think the thing that hurts him the most, especially because of – this is my opinion. Him being his size, yes, he's a traditional – basically a traditional big man in the league. What we used to see as kids and stuff like that. Yeah. The OG type. Like, that's his style. Him
the OG.
Him moving outside of 10, 12 feet, anything past, that's where it hurts him the most. Because, one, he's not – his footwork is not meant to be that far outside the paint. He's just not meant to do that. So when teams have stretch fours or stretch five that can pull him away from the paint, that makes him a liability because he can't guard out there.
You know where the best Gobert's best time would come is off the bench. If Gobert came in rotationally and wasn't a starting center, he'd be 100 times better because he wouldn't have the same wear and tear. He wouldn't have to go through the same bullshit. I think Gobert has talent, and I think he has potential. But the problem is they're not using him right. They're just not. Now, if I'm Shaq, I know you guys have all heard what the shit that Shaq has said about this man. But Shaq is right. Like I said, you have to body people. You have to make people scared to come in the paint. And right now, there's only a couple of people who do that. Giannis and Embiid and Jokic sometimes. But those three are the only big men that are like, if you come in here, I'm going to snatch your fucking soul. When back in our day, Dennis Rodman was like that.
Oh, motherfucking Patrick. Every team had one back then, even if he was mediocre.
Bill Laimbeer.
You just had somebody to lock the fucking paint down. And you had a backup who could lock the paint down as well. May not have been as skilled, but he was mean as fuck. And he would foul the shit out of you if you came into the paint. This, I get where we're preventing injuries and stepping forward and changing the game and evolution. But, bro, these point guards are not just shooting from the outside and dishing anymore. They will make you look like an asshole. And if you got a point guard like Russ, who's now coming off the bench, he's going to make you look like an asshole every single time he comes in the game.
Dude, shout out to freaking Harden. Looked like the old Harden today. Like, he led the Clippers today big time against the Dallas Mavericks. Dude, he put the wheels on Luka. Luka freaking fell over today guarding him. It was fucking great. Shout out to him because Russ came off the bench, man, for the Clips. And I think
he had
40 points between the two of them.
He made the decision to come off the bench. The coach,
yeah, he should. He's 40 years old. So,
Coach Lou didn't make him do it. Like, hey, coach, I know I'm better suited for coming off the bench. To have somebody, because let's not get it twisted. He may
be
coming off
in the NBA,
but
just not on that team.
But Russell Westbrook is still that guy as far as one of the most athletic point guards on the planet. Does he shoot too much? Absolutely. But having somebody like Russell Westbrook for the Clippers to come off the bench and able to manage that second round of guys and still be able to play with the first guys if need to later on in the game.
He only took 8 shots today off the bench. Only took 8. He made 5.
But
I'm good with that.
See,
all day long.
5 for 8 off the bench is fantastic. Yeah. 5 for 8 is what I need.
This version of Russell Westbrook might be the best Westbrook we've seen in a sense of being able to participate on a team, and it's not—he's not just trying to make it about himself. He understands
that you'd think the term "game manager," but I don't like that. I think "game changer." I think he's the direction holder on that. I mean, Bobby Portis is a finalist for Sixth Man of the Year, but it's got to be Russell Westbrook. It's got to be Russell Westbrook,
and they're the reason why the Clippers aren't considered a one and done in the playoffs.
Kawhi Leonard being out.
I thought Dallas was going to be. Coming in, they're one of the hottest, if not, I think it was the hottest team coming in. Luka and Kyrie were going off. It did get scary. Dallas did wake up, and they made it a game. I mean, by the time Dallas woke up, it was too late, and that was apparent.
It happened in the playoffs.
So let me ask you guys this. Did you guys watch the Knicks and Sixers game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you see how much they out-rebounded the Sixers without Embiid in there?
And with Joel Embiid's injury, bro, there's no reason why you shouldn't just smack these people around.
Bro, yeah. They had 21 offensive rebounds.
They're going to sweep the Philly. They're going to sweep Phily.
And Jalen Brunson did not have his best game that night.
No,
Jalen Brunson looked like ass. He just didn't perform. But Josh Hart did.
Carried the weight. Y'all are definitely better now. And I didn't know if this was going to happen since you've gotten rid of what's his name,
Barrett.
Get Barrett, and then you got how do you say his name?
Ananobi.
Ananobi.
Right there, Toronto's gonna miss that fool.
Well, not just him, but you got to remember too.
Go ahead.
Julius Randle's injured, so we don't even have our best big man in the game.
Listen, even when Julius Randle's playing, he's never there, anyways. One third of the time he plays like everyone thinks he can.
Here's the problem. Boston is like sleepwalking through the playoffs right now, so it sucks.
I think it's the Miami Heat that barely got in.
Only as good as Jimmy Butler is good. If Jimmy Butler,
Charles, but you don't win 64 fucking games when you rest a bunch of your players either in the East. So the East was a juggernaut.
Yeah,
the East was better this year, way better this year. I think
be better, but there's no way in hell that your bottom.
Yeah, I can see that.
Can make the playoffs in the East.
And the Detroit Pistons are in the East, so it's like whenever someone's the East is a juggernaut.
How do you think I feel? Like, are we talking about the same Eastern Conference?
Paul, did you see?
I know you're not wrong. You're not wrong. I'm just saying.
Deal for $40 million a year.
Yeah,
but he wants a 4-year deal.
Paul, I don't know if he's still got 4 years as a starter.
The way that they're talking shit about my Bulls, though, they go, "All right, the mid three is over." And I'm like, wait, what mid? Oh, they're talking about us.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's as much as it's going to pay me to see, especially because we didn't see Lonzo Ball able to flourish in this offense, which I feel would have made the entirety of the difference between sucking and actually being a contender. Because when Lonzo was there and the whole core was there, Caruso, DeMar, Zach, and Vujicic were all, it was running, it was working. And not having that ability to stay healthy and be the squad that they should have been is going to suck, but it's time to blow up the Bulls and start over.
It really is. Look,
it's not going to happen because Zach LaVine's contract's way too expensive.
There's a couple teams that Charles and I spoke about this too, that Phoenix and Golden State, they're all the R's old teams. They're old. Right. Let's just be honest. They're senior led teams. And I hate to say this, but after Klay Thompson, what he did, is his career over in Golden State?
I don't know. Oh, my God. Gallup is talking about trying to make a move on him.
Lopez from the fucking key. Sorry.
Charles is watching Bucks basketball, if you can't tell. He's over here, Dame time, giving us the highlights without even telling us the score.
Even if Klay, because I think Klay wants to stay Golden State, but he's not worth the money if this is what we're going to get.
He's not the same player after that. Klay Thompson's going back after that. That's just
Klay Thompson's going to Detroit.
He's still a great basketball player, but Klay
Thompson's going to the Pistons, bro.
He's just go to Portland. Yeah. Just go as far to the corner of the country as possible, and don't.
He'll go to Detroit, Charles, and he'll become an all-star. But they'll still lose.
That's what happened to Blake Griffin.
I was just to say he'll give us a Blake Griffin, and the Pistons will retire his. The Pistons will retire his jersey. You can see. Listen, Detroit will end up booing him a couple of times. He'll look to the crowd and go.
Listen now, Mike. The only thing that's stopping the Knicks from making it to the finals is Boston.
God!
Yeah.
I think
if Boston, here's the thing. I know they're playing the Heat, and like you said, the Heat is only as good as Jimmy Butler is. But Boston, for some reason, they just look like they're giving up on the postseason. You know what I'm saying? They look exhausted.
I think that's a coy. I'm telling
you. It very well could be. And look, I like Derek White. I live in San Antonio, so he was down here for a while doing a bunch of really cool shit. And I love Jason Tatum.
Boss, dude.
And I think
he's energetic as fuck.
I think they're on a collision course to meet each other in the finals.
I think that's what it's going to be
in the East, anyways. I think we're going to get some great basketball.
If the Knicks get that
state battle right there, Massachusetts versus New York, Boston versus New York, that would be, I feel like, an instant classic.
Here's the thing. The Knicks just don't take your freaking foot off the throat. Just keep going. The Knicks bugaboo, the last 25 years of basketball has been when they are good, it seems like they know they're good, and then they forget that they're good.
Well, that makes sense, but... Yeah, no, it makes a lot of sense, but that's the difference now is we have somebody in Jalen Brunson who knows, even when he doesn't perform, he knows how to motivate his guys. Who had Josh Hart going off on their bingo card in the first Knicks game? Nobody.
I think it's absolutely disgusting that Jalen Brunson is not on the Olympic team.
Me too.
I don't understand how Kawhi Leonard made it, got a nod.
Yeah. He wasn't playing today, so he could be healthy for the Olympics.
Like, out of all the these players are not on there. They're handpicked by whoever the coach is.
It's the same reason why Isaiah Thomas wasn't on the Dream Team. He should have been running that Dream Team.
Spite, right?
Jordan hated him. Yeah, Jordan hated him.
Six of them.
Yeah.
6-2 is always better.
Hey, listen, I'm just saying.
Or 3. My bad. I apologize.
Jordan would have had more if it wasn't for us. That's all I'm saying. Kobe can't say that about no one.
I have to.
7.
The Pistons sent Jordan to play baseball. That's what happened.
That's very true. I have to give the Pistons props because we're all old enough to remember the Ben Wallace era in Detroit. When y'all were just Rip Hamilton,
traded Stackhouse for Hamilton, yeah.
Oh my God,
yeah. Tayshaun Prince. Who remembers that block? That's all I'm saying. Who remembers the block?
Grant Hill.
Oh my God, Grant Hill. I wish Grant Hill would have stayed.
Dude, if Grant Hill didn't fuck his ankle up, he might have been one of the best basketball players.
I have dreams still about Grant Hill being healthy.
That's how I feel about Derrick Rose.
My first Pistons jersey was
Derrick
Hill.
Same way.
Yeah.
I don't care what anybody says in the history of the world. My favorite throwback jersey is the green Pistons Grant Hill jersey with the horse.
Check this out. You got Derrick Rose.
Exhaust pipes.
I need your guys' help. Right, here we go. We got Derrick Rose. We got Grant Hill. We got Greg Odom.
Good one.
Okay, so we've got the small forward, the center, and the point guard. We need
a
shooting guard.
The shittiest team ever.
The dream team that couldn't stay healthy. So you got Derrick Rose. You got Derrick Rose, Greg Odom. Ben Simmons has got to be in there too. So we move Grant Hill to the shooting guard.
What about Brandon Roy? No, but he had a whole career though.
Tracy had a good career.
Anthony
Brandon Roy. He had to retire 7 years in because his couldn't hold up.
There it is. Who beats them?
All in their prime before they got hurt.
Hibbert was a 7-footer for Indiana. Remember that guy?
He was dominant, and then he just couldn't shoot.
He was another one that had bad knees because he was like 7 foot.
Of guys who used to dominate for Indiana, what do y'all think is the future for Mr. Paul George?
He's going to retire without a ring.
Yeah, he's done.
I need a little more context.
I just mean like when he was in Indiana, he was like that guy. He was PG. No, you didn't mess with him, right? He went to the Clippers or he went to the Oklahoma City Thunder first.
His defense.
And he just, it's like he morphed into a dude who isn't sure what he used to be. You know what I'm saying?
I think a factor plays with one in Indiana, outside of Danny Granger, he was the guy in Indiana.
He made it to the East Finals with Indiana.
Yeah, and he got beat by LeBron. But when he went to these,
that sucks. But
he had to share the spotlight. Had to share,
especially
the ball.
Because there's more people that can say they beat LeBron than can say have been beaten by LeBron.
So when Paul George went to the team, he had to do it with Carmelo Anthony and Russell Westbrook on the same team. And now that he's in the Clippers, he's having to share the spotlight and time with revolving around Kawhi and certain other people. So now this year, you got Kawhi Leonard, James Harden, Russell Westbrook on your team.
You know who two players right now that are sharing the spotlight right now that are doing really well? Anthony Edwards and Kat.
Because Kat knows he's the second fiddle now. This is Anthony's team. He is him. That is MJ's
Anthony Edwards went fucking off today, dude.
He took over. Did you see what Michael Conley said on the bench?
No.
He said, he's in his bag. Oh, boy. If he keep playing like this, we're going to keep going. Anthony Edwards is showing his ass.
You're gonna have people pretty soon, if this kid keeps playing like this, going, should he be the new logo of the NBA?
Not to toot our own horn, but Dame Time's got 35 at halftime.
Bro, dude, I'm telling you right now, it is 69 to 40 fucking two.
You said Damian Lillard had 35
at halftime, bro.
Yeah.
At halftime. All right.
Let's do a wager right now.
I have it on the NBA.com, the Bucks and five. I have it on the NBA.com.
Right, let's do a wager. Dame has
you
35.
Did. You did pick 35, that.
Right? Dame has 35 and a half. Let's go over under.
Okay.
Over 45 or under 45?
Oh, over 45 is easy. We got to do 53 and a half.
Okay.
I think 53 and a half.
53 and a half, over under.
53 and a half, over under. I'm saying over.
Did you say 53 and a half?
53 and a half.
Under, because I think they're already up by 27.
They're going to slow them down.
Like, yeah, they'll take them out for the whole.
Here's why I'm saying this, right? Check this out.
Are you gonna take these out? Are you going to take these out of the game? Because that right now, that's how Damian Lillard's looking. All right, Damian Lillard's got the crazy eye right now. So that's how he's looking. You don't take the crazy eye out. He's in the playoffs. He's hungry. He's waited all season for this.
You touch the eye and go like Adam Sandler. Or no.
Crazy eye right now. Fucking crazy eye right now.
You got under?
I got under because I think they're taking him out in the third, late third.
I'm taking the under. I'm saying taking
the under. Yeah. You're crazy.
I know. I'm taking the over.
We got Charles and Chaos doing over, and Patty and me going under on 53.
Listen, here's the thing. He's got to get 10 points. He's got to get 10 points in the third and 10 points in the fourth, and he goes over.
I get that.
Yeah, I think he hits. I think he
hits. If
55.
He makes it to the fourth quarter.
Bro, I think if he keeps
record. What's the Bucks playoff record?
Overall, look that up. Or for what?
Just a Bucks playoff record. And if he's going for that.
What's the Bucks playoff scoring record in a single game?
Just for a single game in the playoffs, yeah.
Yeah.
If it's over 60, he's probably not going to go for it. But if it's 50-some, then he might stay in for it. If it's 58.
Well, what are y'all top scorers? Was Oscar Robertson back in the day, right?
Yeah, but I don't know if he scored over 50 in a playoff game. Maybe. Hmm. Charles, you looking this up for
y'all
us?
Also had what's his nuts, too. Y'all had Kareem before
We had Kareem.
He was still Luol Cinder.
But I think those are regular season games when they scored like 60, 70 points, those games.
Oh, it just has regular season records.
Maybe they never kept
Giannis Antetokounmpo set the scoring record December 13th, 2023.
Ooh.
Rep 64 points against the Indiana Pacers in a game where the Bucks secured a 140-126 win that matchup at Pfizer Forum Stadium.
They only won by 14, so that game makes me think maybe they got it within 10. They're gonna have Indiana's got to go on a run here, or he's coming out. If they're up by 40,
I'm telling you.
Well, hold on, let me pull up my Google Translator because you're speaking some kind of fucking language I don't understand right now. What do you mean Indiana's going to go on a run? Do I got to show you the crazy eye right now again? You got Dame Time out there right now.
You
got
to go the other way. This is your Milwaukee eye. That's Dame Time right now. Now you got Mike in with the crazy. Paul's got the crazy. You picked the under. How can you
it's contagious. Of course it's contagious. The whole team's out there going crazy right now.
There's no way that they're going to keep going at this pace. Look at me when I'm talking to you. Going at this pace and not take him out.
He's coming out in the fourth quarter.
This is the thing, right? I can absolutely see them taking him out end of third, beginning of fourth quarter. But if I don't know, dude,
and they're not giving him the record.
So who's the pro? This is the thing. Who do you trust more in a big game than Dame?
Not a fucking person. He has the second.
Put in,
I'm thinking him out.
He's one of the second all-time leading clutch scorer.
You still got Middleton, and you got Lopez,
Bobby Portis.
I'm not saying there's not other talent on the team.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I agree with you.
If it's a close game,
the big shot.
Yeah,
you got to keep. If they go into the fourth and they're up by 35 or more, he's definitely coming out. Yeah,
yeah.
But if they go into the fourth, and it's only, knock on wood, if it's only like a 15-point lead, I think you keep him in.
He's still in there, for sure.
Okay,
yeah,
so check this out. Since 2012.
What random stat you got for
him? Lillard has hit more three-pointers, 132, with the score within 5 points in the final 5 minutes of a regular season game than anybody else. Steph Curry is second with 124. Well, you got clutch time, Dame time.
So that means they're going to get up ahead in the third quarter and have a bench with a towel, with a nice little Gatorade.
We're going to be seeing Giannis.
He's on the other side.
We're going to be seeing Giannis. Yeah, I love it when Giannis comes in, man.
Oh, you mean, no, his name is Theonastis.
Theonastis, yeah. I feel
bad. Theonastis Antetokounmpo.
I love that, dude. I don't care. There's a lot of people who are like, oh, yeah, you're only on the team because of your last name. Don't give a fuck.
What's his other brother's name?
But I'm on the team, bitch.
What's that?
It's Giannis. It's Giannis, the Nastis, and what's the other one? You got the Antetokounmpo trio in there.
It's still one of the coolest things in sports.
Okay, so in the last 5 minutes of a game in clutch situations, Lillard has scored a total of 110 points in 126 minutes, which ranks seventh in the league. He achieves this efficiency with shooting splits of 49.3 from the field, 38.5 from beyond the arc, and an impressive 91.5 from the free throw line.
But problem is, I would like to see those stats, whether or not they were games that he had to have the ball in his hands because they were losing, or if their games are up by 20 points.
Considering he was at Portland, clutch time, you only receive clutch time points when the game is close. The score has to be within 5 or 10.
I thought clutch time just meant at the
end. No, because there ain't fucking nothing clutch about me being up 40 with 4 minutes left in the game.
I don't know about that.
That's fine.
I was clutch for three quarters.
I promise. I'll look it up real quick. You guys keep discussing. But clutch means something with points.
This is the thing. To me, it doesn't matter. Dame, like you said, Dame is one of those shooters that you want the ball in his hands more often than not in a clutch situation.
Without a doubt.
In the NBA, I mean, cut you off here. Hold on. In the NBA, clutch time refers to the critical moments during a game when the score margin is within 5 points and there is five or fewer minutes remaining in the fourth quarter or overtime. So, absolutely.
Yeah. You guys picked up a great one, especially losing Drew Holiday. Yeah. Like to pick up Dame, to Mr. Dollar himself, and have him come in. And this is the thing. I'm so happy for Dame as a fan of basketball, because in Portland, he was stuck in a closet. He had no help. There was no – C.J. McCollum was there, but, like, they had no front court help at all.
Yeah.
It was all back court dominance. So now your front court in Milwaukee is as good, if not better, than any team in the league. And now your back court is – as good, if not better, than anybody else in the league. Like, that's the difference in a game changer versus somebody who can come in and give you six points off the bench.
You didn't even bring up the most effed up point about it. The score is 42-35. So even if without the rest of the Bucks, they're only down seven.
They're playing good defense.
10 points.
They're playing good defense. It does help that Indiana was 1-for-14. They're 1-for-14 from the three.
I'm not on defense except when Damian Lillard has the ball, apparently.
I'm saying Milwaukee's playing good defense with Dame going off like this.
I hate to be this guy to bring this stat up, but there was seven women's games this season in college basketball. Division I college basketball where a single player outscored the other team. And I know this happens in high school, even in guys' sports.
How many times?
In men's. There were seven times where a woman outscored the other team in college basketball, Division One.
Like for the game? I mean,
yeah, for the game.
Yeah.
Like
it happens because there's better. Oh yeah, it happens. I believe one of them was like one of them might have been UConn or South Carolina.
I was gonna say Juju Smith-Schuster is I promise you at least three times her by herself scored more points.
You got the wrong Juju.
Did you just say Juju Smith-Schuster?
Yeah, you got the wrong Juju. I was
I didn't know he could ball like that.
Yeah, no, he gets.
And he was a woman.
Juwan a man. Fucking Juwan a man.
Dude, speaking of which, remember Grandmama? Remember those commercials? Those were the shit.
Oh, yeah.
Freaking Johnson. Juwan a man. Larry Johnson, man. Those were the best. Grandmama. Man.
I'm sorry.
That dude was a dog, too.
Was it Juju Watkins? It was Juju Watkins.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. She scored 70 one night.
Honestly, these probably were teams that were really bad. Like, they were playing, like, some prep school or something that's D1. Women's basketball has got some weird D1 schools.
But this is the thing. What makes it even funnier for the betters, for the college, who's just walking through the schedule each day?
I don't know. You can find those games probably.
No, I'm like,
not,
you go through the game and they go, there's this one bet line. A USC player is going to outscore Indiana State, Texas A&M University. Who would you put?
The Tigers are three down wins on that away line from matching the Pistons.
Yeah.
It's just to say that you outscored a whole damn team.
But if you're what if you're the asshole that lays like $1,500 on that one, on that prop bet, and you win it and say that it's like plus 1900 or something, you walk away with 20 G's. Could you live with yourself knowing that you bet on that? You could?
Yes.
I wouldn't want to tell anybody that I won.
100.
Everybody you won money.
I would scream it from the rooftops. I would get it tattooed on my shoulder like Jim Harbaugh's 15-0.
If you're laying, if you're laying odds like that, and I could bet on the color of the Kool-Aid in the Super Bowl and win that kind of money, I would tell everybody. I don't give a fuck.
I would tell everybody.
So the NFL the NFL is doing away with the streaking thing. You're no longer going to be allowed to bet on that one because people are doing
that's because, old boy, last year. Yeah, and one stupid amount of money.
Yeah, 400,000. I think he only bet like a couple hundred. But he won.
Yeah,
like
I think it was like 500 and won like 400K.
Talking about the NFL.
Only for a $2,000 ticket, too, to be arrested.
It's
worth it.
Yeah, it's definitely worth it.
You're banned from coming to any stadium.
Okay. No, I think he's only banned from the Super Bowl for a certain amount of time, like 10 years or something.
I'm okay with that. Speaking of NFL.
400K, yeah.
Let's go ahead and let's start this off. So, on previous shows, we have discussed the Bears. We've discussed a little bit of the Eagles. We've discussed a little bit of the Packers. So we're going to quick dive with the Bears real quick, just to give us a recap of what the world should already know. Caleb Williams is going number one. There's a small discussion about another wide receiver at 9. Most of the mock drafts I've seen or have done myself actually have them going more of the defensive route. I think that would be smarter. Paul, how do you feel?
I'm mixed towards a lot of scenarios. The number one scenario I would prefer, yes, I know we're getting Caleb Williams. That's undeniable by anybody that has a brain and knows football. That number 9 pick is, I think, more important now than ever, because this might be one of the draft picks that can turn the tide for us, whether it's offensively the right way, whether getting an offensive tackle or a center, or if we go defense and we get us another edge rusher to be on the other side of Montez Sweat. Like that, you have to pick one or the other, because one or the other is going to help turn this tide around to get us to where we need to go in the future. But if we go receiver or go like Drake, what is it, Bowers, going for a weapon at this point, now that we've had so many conversations on the show about what's more important, because it's like we do, yes, Keenan Allen may just be a one-year rental, but he's here. And we possibly get somebody else later in the third, fourth, maybe fifth round, if not next year, to replace Keenan Allen. That's somebody might be younger and more cheaper on the contract. So I would either go offensive tackle or I'd go defensive just because.
Keenan Allen is a freaking – he is probably Mr. Responsible as far as a player goes.
I like the pick.
That guy is always there to catch the football. If you can get it to him, he's catching it.
And
he's reliable as all hell. He might not be the greatest receiver, but he's reliable. But
and maybe he ends up building nice rapport with Caleb Williams.
Absolutely.
And he likes the situation. Takes less money to re-sign. He's made a bunch of money. He's living a good life. But maybe
he's also a value to the locker room as well.
I agree.
Absolutely. A veteran being, 10, 11, 12 years in the league,
you
know stuff, and you have a young receiving core in Chicago that can feed off of his brain and his experience being in the league and still be a valuable asset offensively as a threat because he's still young. Yes, he's in his early 30s, and in football, that means you're
– Yeah.
But that's not always the case with every player, and I think he can help both our receiving core and help Caleb Williams possibly. Because look at the young talents that he had to deal with. And he just left Justin Herbert to come to possibly, again, a generational talent at quarterback. Right. I'm like, who else better to have than somebody who's already played with somebody young that's talented and help them? So why not do it? Why can't he do it again?
I think we'll throw a little color in this and then we'll bounce on. I think it has a lot to do with what Atlanta does. I think if Atlanta picks up a wide receiver for Kirky Cousins, I think that will allow the Bears then to pick up Dallas Turner. But I think if Dallas Turner isn't on the board at 9, I think at that point then the best option would be for the Bears to pick up some type of weapon. I still think I agree offensive line, defensive line, or defense of tackle. Patrick, Mike, what say you?
I don't think you go best available player. I don't know about you, Mike.
No, I don't think they only have 4 picks in this draft, so you can't afford to.
They
got to
be very selective what they do.
That's the thing.
But now, their first 2 picks are too valuable. Like the talent that you're going to get off. Obviously, Caleb is going number one, like everybody has said.
Right.
Let's take the number one pick off the table because that's gone. Number 9, I think there's a couple of different ways you could go. You do have weapons on offense already. You just signed DeAndre Swift, who can catch out of the backfield, right? You got Kevin Byard, so you don't really have to worry about safety because he's going to play better in the Chicago defense than he did in Philly.
Yeah.
For me, for Chicago, I would go one of 3 players. I would either go Joe Alt to keep Caleb upright.
Yeah.
I would go Dallas Turner or – I would go Mike Samristil from Michigan as in the corner position. I think Mike Samristil now the problem with going Mike Samristil is that number 9 is super early to draft
for a
him.
Team that doesn't have a second round draft pick.
So you have to make that.
But here's the kicker though. If you're going to live in that reality, then why not take Cooper DeJean or Kool-Aid?
You could.
Above him.
So here's the problem. Taking Cooper DeJean, if I'm Chicago.
I watched Samristil all year. I love the kid. Don't get me wrong. That's a great pick. I think
I think Samristil fits better into what Chicago wants to do defensively. Cooper DeJean, here's the problem. Cooper DeJean is going to do everything that you need, but he's not going to excel at just one thing. Jack of all trades, master of none. That's what DeJean is. Now, we again not taking pro day and shit into a lot of account, but we saw what he's looked like after his leg break. He still can run. He still can change direction. He's still got the same athletic ability. So I could see going to Cooper DeJean, but I think Chicago needs one of Mike Samristil to me, and I might be the only non-Michigan fan who's really as high on Samristil as I am. I think Mike Samristil from a coverage space and plus a body space, I think he's one of the best quarterbacks in this draft, and I think he would fit in Chicago. I think the only one who would maybe be better is Quinyon Mitchell, but Mike Samristil to me fits in Chicago really well.
Yeah, the thing with like you said, you brought up Michigan players. They basically, for the last few years, have been playing a NFL style defense, so they're already going to be around that. Every coach they've had the last 3 years came from an NFL. Let's just say it; they came from the Baltimore Ravens system.
Yeah,
they do know NFL type. I'm not saying they're NFL caliber, but they know what the schemes are.
We went to the Bears. let's talk a little bit about, I think, just as an let me rephrase this. I think they're in a more exciting phase than the Bears, really, with the Minnesota Vikings. They're sitting at 11.
Exciting is a very intriguing word there.
You have two picks inside the 25 at the first round. You're sitting at 11 with everything saying you're going to 5 or 3. What are you going to do with, what is it, 22 or 23?
No, they have 23. 20.
Is it 24?
23.
I'm looking. No, Dallas is 24.
Yeah, 23. Dallas is 24. Yeah, so you've got the Eagles at 22, Minnesota at 23, Green Bay at 24. So here we're going to talk a little bit about Minnesota and Washington. I think this has a lot to do with that scenario, because if Washington takes the quarterback the Patriots have on their board, I see the Patriots taking Marvin Harrison Jr.
Oh.
What?
Because you have then
they don't
Marvin Harrison Jr., but they've got Jacoby Brissett.
Sucks.
Yeah.
But he again,
sucks, but he'll
again,
do for the.
Are you telling me you think Marvin Harrison
you're going to have
him look good?
Yeah.
I think the smartest item on Charles' wavelength with this. Because when you said that, the first thing that made me think is Shedeur Sanders next year.
And
because New England's not going to be they're not going to be a playoff team. I don't care who they get. They're just not there yet. So if they get Marvin Harrison Jr. now, next year, they're going to be just as bad. They finish with a top 10 pick again, trade up and get Shedeur Sanders. It's not a bad plan. You've already got your weapon there. He's already used to your offense.
You've got the offensive weapon. You have the ability to mortgage the future then in next year's draft. That's what I'm saying. A lot of this falls on Washington, because if Washington picks Jaden Daniels, I don't see the Patriots taking Drake May or J.J. McCarthy.
No, I think Minnesota will come up and either take – I think Minnesota, I can see taking Drake May way faster than I could New England.
Well, I've got the Chargers trading out with Minnesota. I think that's the most reasonable thing. It allows the Chargers to build
assets. Let's all be honest. I agree with Charles 100%. We know what's going to happen. There's going to be at least one trade in the top 10. For sure. Guaranteed.
Absolutely.
But you're telling me you're willing, Mike, to risk having one of the quarterbacks of this year.
He's not. He's thinking New England is.
Yeah, I think that. Well, I think. Because of Gerard Mayo and the way he coaches and what he has available to him. Because, look, let's be honest, right? Caleb Williams is the best quarterback in this class, hands down. He's gone. You can't even worry about it, right?
After Caleb Williams, there's nothing but question marks.
And next year, you're debating between Carson Beck and Shedeur Sanders are basically the only two quarterbacks in that draft.
That's my issue, though. You're Washington. You take Jaden Daniels off the board. You're telling me the Patriots are going to go into a fucking whirlwind and lose their shit and act like there's not other capable quarterbacks in the league for a gamble that Shedeur's going to be that guy next year just because Marvin Harrison's there?
That's a way to look at it. That's a way to look at it. But Jacoby Brissett is a proven commodity.
But I'm just saying you're willing to gamble.
I would be.
So who do you – okay, so who do you – if yes, because, look, if they don't take Marvin Harrison, you got to trade down, because who else is worth going for at three?
You're willing to risk and gamble this year's rounds of quarterback on the hopes and dreams, one, that you have enough of a draft capital and draft – hold on – to trade up for possibly Shedeur Sanders – that's proven what?
I'm not saying Shedeur Sanders is proven.
If I'm New England, that's just stupid.
So here's
other issue, right? You're saying I'm skipping this class of quarterbacks like there's anybody worth a shit.
But
this is the thing.
Shedeur Sanders is better than everybody else after Caleb Williams?
He has the potential. To me, he has the potential to be.
Here's another side of it from the marketing standpoint. Marvin Harrison Jr. sells jerseys and keeps people in the seats all season. A rookie quarterback who becomes nothing empties seats about halfway through the season and jersey sales tank. I think from a rebuilding standpoint, there isn't another Marvin Harrison Jr. in this draft.
And that's
neighbors.
Fine.
Neighbors.
So let me ask you this, Paul.
Who is this year's Anthony Richardson? Yeah, I'm sorry.
Nobody knows. That's the thing. This year's
but that's what I'm saying. Who do you think?
I'm not saying, again, I'm not
Charles
saying.
Charles said it, Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
Well, do you mean as, okay, go ahead. Sorry.
As in like the fourth or fifth quarterback that comes off the board where he's just, holy shit, he should have been way higher.
Are we talking about maybe Penix? Maybe?
But that's what I'm saying is I don't think you have to, if you're New England, I don't think you have to, you don't have to get a quarterback in the first round. You trade out, get an extra second round pick, get Penix in the second round, and then you have another second round pick to get a corner or a safety or a lineman. Like,
and I get it. I understand. It's just the logic for me for a team that is, since Tom Brady has left, have struggled in the
Belichick's gone too. So
Belichick's gone, and it just even got worse. That quarterback position in New England is non-existent. Matt Jones did not work out there.
So I think that's exactly why they're saying that they're okay with it, because they
know.
That's what I'm
saying. Right now, I'm looking at the third or fourth best quarterback.
Okay.
But I can get a generational, even though we hate to say it, wide receiver. He's going to be. Who was Ohio State's quarterback this year? What was his name?
I don't know.
Exactly. Marvin Harrison Jr. made that kid look great. Okay? So you're going to have Jacoby Brissett, a dude who can actually throw the ball, who did win the starting job in Washington, but lost it because of injury. And then Washington kept him out based on this young man's career, not game chosen talent. So you can't look. I'm looking at the third or fourth the opportunity to have the second or first next year.
But the problem is there's not that much difference between Jaden Daniels and Drake May for the number two or number three. So you're like, I do understand what Paul's saying. You're just going to give that up because you didn't get the other guy.
If I gave you two lottery tickets and the one on the left was a guaranteed $50. The one on the right had a chance to win $500. What are you taking?
I believe it's going to go quarterback, no matter what.
Quarterback.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I just don't think.
Yeah, exactly. I agree with Charles too. The teams are going to be might not be the same teams. We know number one and number two probably are going to be the same team. I don't think they're trading out of two. Three might be a wild card.
If Washington is our.
What do you ask for that? What do you ask for number three then?
Let's I don't know, but
it depends on what team is asking to come up to number three.
Well, I can tell you from looking at it right now that there's probably only off the top of my head two teams. Like, and you already brought one of them up, and I think the other team that is crazy enough to come up and try to move up into the draft is another team that was in the playoffs last year and needs a quarterback.
Who?
Cleveland.
No, because Cleveland doesn't pick till 54.
Who? It's not making us into owls.
Fucking Dallas.
Cowboys.
Oh, God.
No, they didn't do anything in free agency.
They can't afford a top five rookie contract. Dak's got 55 million against the cap, second highest.
Not just that, Dallas lost its entire offensive
Charles,
line.
You can mortgage it. You just slide that little card.
What has Jerry ever mortgaged anything?
Jerry don't need a mortgage.
Patrick might be onto something. He's been telling us to charge it to the card for a few days now.
It's just a running joke because we saw it. I know. Bears did it one time. It's just a running joke.
Carolina just did it, so maybe it is Dallas's time.
Carolina just did it. Carolina just gave away everything in the kitchen sink.
If Dallas trades up for a quarterback, they're officially done this season. Because if you're Dak, why the fuck are you going to go out and play if they draft a first-round quarterback?
I'm still showing other teams who I am. I'm going to play. I'm probably not winning the Super Bowl
at this point. Then,
yeah,
I'm not playing. But this is signed Dak to a contract. That's why I was saying this.
I don't think they're going to.
I don't think they will either.
No,
I think Dak is going
to
be on the
field. Players to play, and
they do because you still have to pay Micah. You still have to pay CD. You still have to pay. They lost Stephon Gilmore's gone. So I don't see Dallas doing it because they don't have the cash and they don't have the cap space. I think Denver could trade up. Denver could trade up because they don't have a fucking their quarterback situation is trash. Yeah. That's true.
They can't.
Where's
they,
Denver drafting out of?
12.
Yeah, they're not. They can't do nothing.
They don't Denver's, got enough.
Yeah, Denver's comfortable at 12. To,
I would be good.
Denver's going to be taking Bo Nix or Michael Penix Jr.
Whatever's left.
And I honestly think these fucking Sean Payton's looking at the next Drew Brees and just salivating. So
yeah, we'll see.
Charles, how many is Dame up to?
714.
It's 83-64 with 3 minutes left.
Jesus,
they're both yeah, they're both scoring, but nobody's. It's just it's on cruise control right now.
Yeah, that's a we're not trying to fuck this game up score.
No.
I don't know, man. This draft, I'm so fucking excited for this draft because it's one of the first years that I can remember where I have zero idea what Howie's going to do in the first round. No idea. Yeah. I know what we need and I know what we want or what I would like the team to do, but I have zero idea the way Howie's going to go.
Well, we've lived comfortably in that 20 range, and for the most part,
you're going to be you'll be disappointed no matter who the player
when you're
is. Anyway,
20 to 30, you tend to trade out into early positions and more pickups
third,
in the second,
second
third
round.
Round,
and pick up a fifth, fourth, or fifth
yeah,
round.
Yeah,
well, no, that's what we do as a team.
Well,
yeah.
I'm just saying, we strike gold every time we do it. Every time we talk about someone on the podcast,
you play this game like you said. Yeah. Yeah, see who's available, and if that player gets off the board, you're just like, ah, fuck it, I'll trade back. That's what the Packers do all the time.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
For your first pick, whenever it is, we all know when y'all's first pick in the first round.
You already know who Charles and I want.
No, I understand who y'all want, but what would be a pick if they were to make a pick this year that would just make you feel like, what the fuck?
Okay, so I know I have a really good feeling. I was looking at the Detroit Lions and what they're looking to pick up also. The Detroit Lions need a cornerback. With the Green Bay Packers just picking up another offensive lineman, I truly believe with everything inside of me, because we're picking two spots ahead, like in most of the mock drafts I've seen.
They've done it to us. They took LaPorta.
Yeah, Green Bay, like Green Bay, the next team.
You know this.
I'm telling you, yeah, like it's.
You know this shit.
Here it is, Green Bay, Tampa Bay.
This draft means something different to them.
Yeah, Green Bay, Tampa Bay, and Arizona.
It won't revenge.
It's payback.
I don't know if Arizona really, Arizona might have two picks in the first round. That's great.
I don't know. One or two teams does. Yeah, just two teams don't have a pick.
Arizona has 4 and 27.
Is what Tennessee doesn't have a draft pick, correct?
Not in the first.
Yeah.
So no, they do. They're like, aren't they number 7?
Tennessee. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Like top 10.
Tennessee's number 7. The number 9 pick for the Bears is going to be fun, right? Because
it's going to be decision.
Going to take an offensive lineman, I think. Tennessee's going to take an offensive lineman. I think then what does the Falcons do, right? Do they give Kirk Cousins... It's a whole ass plane or something. Do they give...
It was somebody's little weenie-ass little mini motorcycle.
So do they give Kirk Cousins another offensive weapon? Or do they beef up their defense because Kirk Cousins is now their offensive weapon? That'll be interesting. And I think that is going to affect the Bears.
Why did we all get off of the quarterback train a long time ago? Because you were so hyped on them taking J.J. McCarthy in the top 5. And now you're not talking about this anymore?
Okay, so now this is where I was going. Hold on. Nope. Again, too, right? I have much different feelings on how this draft is going to go. I truly feel that Caleb's going 1, Drake May's going 2, Marvin Harrison's going 3, Malik Nabers 4, the Minnesota Vikings are going to trade up, and this is where it gets hairy. Does Minnesota take JJ because they're in love with him, or do they take Jaden Daniels?
JJ McCarthy now.
So if this is how the draft happens and it's going that way, depending on what you do at 5, because Minnesota isn't going to go up to 3 when they can get what they want at 5, right? Like,
but do you honestly think that, again, you're saying your bet is if Jaden Daniel goes 2nd, Marvin Harrison is coming off the board next.
I think so regardless.
It's basically going to be that team that goes, we're just picking the best available.
No. He's in love with Drake May. There's no way they pass up on Drake May.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying Caleb goes 1,
Drake May goes two.
If he goes two.
Absolutely. Marvin Harrison goes three. Because in this situation, the Patriots on their big board, in my mind, the quarterback they wanted is no longer there. So I can sell jerseys and seats and give the guy I got now a little bit of extra butter while I pick up the same talent, arguably, in the next draft.
I put a little bit more faith into Vegas when it comes to odds because they have Jaden Daniels way above Drake May for number taking.
That's been a roller coaster because as of yesterday when I looked, it was stupid close.
I believe it's like a $1.50 difference, and that's quite a bit. That's I don't know. I get it. It like you said, it's situational. It's all it's a depending.
Yeah, no, this is just if this was out thing. Yeah, if this was a me mock draft, I mean, where I get stuck is five, right? Because what are you taking?
Yeah.
I believe it's Minnesota.
Okay, so this is what I was bringing up. These guys have the New York Giants traded with Arizona Cardinals to take J.J. McCarthy because they believe the Daniel Jones era is done in New York and they're just going through the motions. Five, they got Marvin Harrison Jr. going to the Chargers. Cardinals picking up Rome. Titans picking up Alt and Quinion Mitchell. Obviously, Quinion Mitchell is a guy who any other draft probably be a top five pick, but he's going to Atlanta. But I agree with you. Atlanta does feel like they need to get another weapon for Kirky. Why not take
Bijan Robinson? You got Kyle Neighbors. Pitts. You got Neighbors. Drake London.
Take you throw him another good receiver out there. Yeah. Kirky, yeah.
They've got a more than decent offensive line. That's why I think I'm confused on why we don't think Arizona would be taking an offensive lineman.
Just
in general.
If it was me, Charles, because I would take Joe Walt all day.
I can tell you the reason I don't think they're taking an offensive lineman is because of who their head coach is. Jonathan Gannon doesn't give a shit about offensive line. He doesn't care. Right. Not that he's not eventually going to take, but he's not taking one in the first round. He's going to take
a running, and you have a running quarterback with Kyler too. Like he'll just run away. Like Charles,
he'll extend long
in the NFL. So
I just think at four,
he's used to running away playing Call of Duty.
At four, no shit. At four, it's too good. Kyler?
He's running with the gun and is he in a Call of Duty? And they're like, he runs just like he does in the NFL, away from everything. Oh, that's kind of funny.
I think Marvin Harrison at four makes too much sense for them. They have pick number 27 as well, I think.
Yes.
And so then you could pick up, you could still get a decent lineman at 27. You could still get a really decent either guard or tackle, or maybe even a center, depending if they need a center. But Arizona for me.
There's no way New England
does. Right, well, you can't pass on Mark.
No, you guys brought this up. You asked Charles and I who we wouldn't want. Right. And I think Charles and I are both in agreement on it. We wouldn't want them to pick up another wide receiver or an offensive weapon because I don't think we need it. There's not enough room in that locker room for it.
Yeah.
And I would be pissed if they picked up an offensive player. Yeah. Even a running back if he was there.
You don't want a skilled player.
No, I don't want a skilled player.
Not in the first round, especially. I don't think Green Bay needs. I think you're going to be stuck on Cooper because Cooper's not going to get past Philly.
He's not going to be there. Yeah.
No, I think Philly is the lowest spot that Cooper DeJean goes.
Well,
and I don't think.
Not after his pro day.
Teron Arnold.
I'm not saying there's not a guy. Yeah. Oh, there's just another guy there. I'm just saying.
Eagles to Arnold.
Yeah.
Who do I not want on the
Philly? Let's jump right into Philly then. We talked about the Packers. We talked about the Bears. We talked about the top five. Who's a player that you would get irritated with, Mike, the first round, if they just said, you know what, F it, we're going all in with this guy. And that guy was nowhere on your board.
I don't want four.
If they went wide receiver in the first round, I'd be pissed.
Wide receiver?
I'd absolutely
stupid.
It'd be dumb.
Since there's four or five really good ones. But it's like you're going to miss out on what you need to get something that you have. You guys have a full locker room as far as wide receivers go.
The best Where's this guy
we don't. Fit yeah. In?
You know,
that's the thing is like whoever we draft at 22, that receiver still drafted high enough that he would want to be a wide receiver one. Speaking we don't need which, a wide receiver one.
Mike, did you happen to catch the absolute joke that Philly fans did to the New England Patriots about them supposedly having interest in AJ Brown? And they let them spam their own TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook pages and all this shit was saying, oh, yeah, we reached out to him. And Philly goes, the fuck they did. He goes, we never answered no phone calls about AJ Brown. Are you fucking crazy?
That's the thing is it's Philly media. Nobody hates Philly athletes more than Philly media. It just is what it is. Ace, this is what happened for those of you guys listening who don't know, is AJ Brown put a picture of Tom Brady on his
Tom Brady
profile picture. And Tom Brady is well documented AJ Brown's favorite player to ever play football, right? So AJ Brown felt like the media disrespected him. He put Tom Brady up because the year after the media started disrespecting Tom, he snapped. He turned into a different player. That's what AJ was trying to say. The Philly media, specifically WIP, who's supposedly the Eagles' flagship station, was shitting all over him saying he's a diva and he wants out and he wants this $200 million contract. And AJ came on and, or AJ went online and was like, look, y'all disrespected me. I told y'all to shut the fuck up. Y'all didn't shut the fuck up. So this is me telling y'all, keep disrespecting me. I'm going to show you who I am. No more talking, no more radio interviews, no more none of that. We're done. And this is the other thing. Philly media have gotten this thing so high. There's one guy who I absolutely fucking hate. He works for this place called Jacob Sports or Jacob Sports or whatever it is. His name is Dan Saleo. He's a fucking scumbag to the max. He's the one who's AJ Brown's a diva and I want to trade him. And if New England gave us number three, get the fuck out of here. You're ridiculous. Why would I trade a receiver who just broke records last year, has had 1,000+ yards and 7+ touchdowns the whole time he's been here? Why am I going to trade him? There's no receivers that we could draft that would replace him, not even a little bit. So I think, but yeah, if they drafted a receiver in the first round, I'd be really pissed. I don't really want them to take an offensive line piece in the first round either. I think we need cornerback and we need edge way too much.
Right. Why not pick up a young corner, especially like anybody?
DeJean or Terrion Arnold or
right.
Kool-Aid. Or even if you want to wait till the second round and pick up a cornerback, then you go edge in the first round because Max Melton out of Rutgers is killing shit.
He'll still be there.
Yeah. So you could pick up him at 50, pick up Edrin Cooper or Junior Colston at 53, and your first round you could go someone like, if he's still there for some ungodly reason, Jared Verse or Leiatu Latu. Somebody on the edge is going to make a difference.
All right, boys. It's time to freaking get that monkey off the back and talk about the elephant in the room. Caitlin Clark signing a giant deal with Nike. And everybody's opinion on this is it's fantastic for sports. It's fantastic for women's basketball. Paul, you brought up a point that two other women in the WNBA have signed similar deals.
And my only issue off the top of my head. The only three players, female players I know that have a signature shoe in the NBA is Caitlin Clark now, Sabrina Ionescu, and Brianna Stewart, I think, has her own shoe.
So I can't believe Griner doesn't have a shoe deal with Adidas.
The one that bothers me is Asia Wilson.
Asia Wilson.
That one's weird to me.
Like, she is literally one of the most well-known athletes in the WNBA, and like she dominates on offense and defense. And the fact that Nike hasn't seen the potential of having a signature deal for her, I just think about like when Cheryl Shoops and Cynthia Cooper had their shoes, like they were the face of the league. I'm not saying that Asia Wilson is the face of the league, but when you think of the WNBA, her name is synonymous.
It's got to be up there
So for Caitlin Clark to get a shoe deal, listen, no shade on her. Congratulations. She's earned it. But you can't sit here and tell me that Caitlin Clark has earned it and Asia Wilson hasn't. Like,
you know what it is. They're trying to capitalize on the market right now. That's what they're trying to do.
This is the money thing for them.
Yeah. It's unfair for Asia Wilson.
I'm shocked on both sides that Steph Curry and Under Armour didn't get Caitlin and they haven't gone after Asia.
Well, here's the problem. Under Armour can't compete with what Nike can put to the table.
But it's Steph Curry.
That's the other thing is.
But it has to do with money. And who can market her brand better? Steph Curry's or Nike? Come on. That's not even a question.
But here's the thing about Under Armour, right? Is you may not get a big upfront, signing bonus and all of that shit. But I think with Under Armour, the way I remember doing this research for the stories that I've had to do for school is that Under Armour pays a bigger back end than Nike does. So initially, yes, you're not going to get the same contract signing bonus that Caitlin Clark will or whoever signing with Nike, right? But you will get more percentage on the shoes sold than you would with Nike.
I get the money-wise.
Yeah.
The money makes sense.
For them, it was them just showing. It was just them shoving a bunch of money in front of her face, and she said, okay.
But I'm not upset at her getting her shoe deal. That's right. Not my issue.
There's a bunch of women who should have. It's confusing.
We all know these women have put in just as much effort into the game as the guys do. So you can't tell me they haven't earned that kind of money to do shoe deals, especially Caitlin Clark. I get it. It's just weird that Asia Wilson's been doing this in college and in the pros.
So to put this in context, it would be Newcastle's going into the draft, right? Yeah. So it would be like Newcastle having a shoe deal right after draft day, but Luka Doncic not having a shoe right now.
It's weird.
This is... For those of you who haven't followed or don't know much yet about the WNBA but do watch the NBA, it would be like one of these newer NBA guys coming into the draft already getting a shoe deal, but Luka Doncic, I fucked that name, but whatever, not having a deal.
Okay, so you guys want me to – I'll bring something up right now. Wilson's portfolio includes Ruffles, Mountain Dew, and Nike, but not Nike shoes. No pun intended. They're dragging their feet. So she does have a deal with Nike, but it's athletic wear.
So it's apparel.
This opens the door.
I think the Caitlin Clark waterfall effect is going
to. If I'm Wilson's agent, I'm talking to Nike and be like, hey, yo, I need.
I'm not just talking to Nike.
Or more.
Or I'm going to Adidas or Under Armour.
Adidas,
Converse, Under Armour. Like, they're so – Jordan, like – I don't know if Jordan's ever had a signature women's shoe either. Like, a signature athlete.
Maya Moore was the first.
You just hope she didn't handcuff herself and not be able to – since she has a contract with Nike, they might have to buy her out in order to get the rights to her name to get her to get a shoe. That might be one of the problems.
Her agent needs to figure something out.
Here's the thing is you have to figure out what the NIL is name, image, and likeness, right? You have to figure out what your NIL is worth, right? You know what it is in college, but what is your name and your image worth in the pros? And we already know Caitlin Clark's name and image is almost priceless because of the records and the hype that she brings. And I agree, Asia should have been had a shoe. Like, I think there's a woman that I am a huge fan of that I think should have had a shoe a long time ago that I think people aren't talking about is Kelsey Plum. I think she's a bad motherfucker and she should have been had a shoe. Like, she could have. She's already out there pounding the ground for the WNBA. She's out there being a spokesperson. She's out there being a leader. So there are so many women that you could find that say she should have had a shoe deal and she should. But I think this is a gamer career.
Wednesday here, the athletic directors in the state of Wisconsin vote to give high school athletes NIL money. The athletic directors are voting on to whether or not allow them to use high school jerseys, all that stuff. April 24th, they vote on it. That's going to change Wisconsin sports, period. I think probably more Kimberly than anything with the Papermakers football team having a fucking $3 million locker room, or $30 million locker room.
Yeah.
Their football team is better than the Kansas City Chiefs.
You should see the Texas high school football team.
This is a joke,
a running joke. Somebody actually put it on like Twitter or something. It's Kimberly's high school football locker room. It's their weight room. And then they showed the Kansas City Chiefs and they're like, this is a high school in Wisconsin. Because if you show one in Texas, it's probably way better anyway. But this is a mock. Just being a little Wisconsin school of like 10,000 people has a better locker room than the freaking NFL team. And we all know Kansas City's in trouble. We know they're going to St. Louis, probably.
Oh, they're
hell,
going
you guys
want
in San Antonio. Yeah. You're open arms, man.
The St. Louis Battlehawks are averaging like 30 to 43,000 attendance.
Yeah,
right?
You can't tell me if they move the Chiefs down there.
Whatever city claims hold of the skill set of Patrick Mahomes, that city's economy is going to explode.
St. Louis is begging for Kansas City to keep.
Because this thing is already busy.
You put
Patrick Mahomes in San Antonio next to Wemby, San Antonio is never going to be quiet. And I'm all the way in.
Bro, the league can keep that bullshit. I don't want any part of fucking Kansas City and San Antonio. It already sucks.
Well, it wouldn't be Kansas City. It would be the Texas Stars.
No, it'd be like the San Antonio Roughnecks or some stupid bullshit.
Here's what we're looking at in that scenario. Some of the listeners might think it's ridiculous, but we've already discussed this on the show multiple times.
We all broke it down.
I'm a billionaire.
Down the numbers. They're $180 million in debt. The city's $180 million in debt.
And either you pay it up or you can leave.
Yeah. I'm a billionaire, and the way I got to be a billionaire is by spending other people's money. And you're going to want me to come spend your money, and these motherfuckers right now are pissing me off, I'm going to come spend your money happily. Because if it doesn't work out in 15 years, I'll pack it up overnight and ship it off to Texas.
The owner already put up his half of the money, and they already did the renovations. The problem was is that the city said, we ain't giving you a dime. And that's exactly what he said. He's like, I already put up some money. Yeah. I already brought the team here.
And I don't want the listeners to think that I don't think the city should fucking pay a dime.
No, he's basically saying I'm in the best interest of the team, and the team's best interest is to not be here because you don't want to put any money into it.
That's
what's crazy. The one thing that I think is stopping San Antonio specifically from getting a team is the city is looking into building a new arena for the Spurs. So we ain't getting no football team no time soon. It's just not happening. This is going to be
they would have to petition it, all that stuff.
And to be honest, I haven't heard San Antonio on a radar. It's
not since the Raiders.
Even if they were to move, this is a 5-year thing down the road.
Yeah,
anyway. This isn't going to happen anytime soon. Because I believe they still have a contract with the city.
If you got to ask me, if you're asking me to put money on it right now, I'm telling you, St. Louis.
I'm saying they're leaving. I'm saying they're leaving if this doesn't get resolved. Right, absolutely.
It makes sense to go to St. Louis again. Your fan base is a
By next season, if they don't resolve this, they're gone.
Can you imagine the St. Louis Battlehawks and the St. Louis Chiefs?
I think
if they move, they're going to have to change the Chiefs name. They're not going to keep that.
Oh, yeah. They wouldn't be St. Louis. They wouldn't be KC anymore.
They'd be the SLC.
If this happened quick and Kelsey was there, there'd be no more Chiefs jerseys. You'd have to buy a new fucking jersey.
And especially like they changed the colors and the whole concept.
Oh, they'd be like the Blues. They'd be like,
St. Louis Cardinals. St. Louis Cardinals are red. I don't know why the Battlehawks are blue.
You can't be the Cardinals. You got to be something cool.
No, the color for the
same red, though.
Yeah.
It's more tomato, more crayon for y'all.
Listen, hold on a second. I'm not doing this to spend more fucking money. I'm doing this because other people are going to spend, I'm going to spend their fucking money, right? You're asking me to change the color of my fucking jersey. You're asking me to change my name. Whoa. We're the St. Louis fucking Chiefs. We're the same goddamn color. I'm not spending any more money than I have to.
I think you're stay billionaires.
Hey, it's your shit. They don't
look
spend
at the
money,
MLB jerseys. Come on.
Oh, God, let's not do that. Those New York Mets jerseys are absolute donkey balls. Yeah.
And I got to pay for the gas for the team to move, so St. Louis is a hell of a lot cheaper.
What if they stole it from us? What if they stole the Milwaukee Brewers thing and they were the St. Louis Brews? Yeah. Because they are the city of beer. They're the city of beer. St. Louis, Missouri.
Shitty beer.
St. Louis Brats. Now, let's you guys.
I'm just saying that what would happen if they did it? They would steal it from the Brewers.
St. Louis.
Oh, they would get sued probably.
They can't do that.
You think they trademarked that name, Charles?
No. I just told you what I think. I'm a fucking billionaire. I'm not spending more money than I have to. The goddamn name's staying the same. The only thing that's fucking changing is the city. I got to pay for gas to move these fuckers from Kansas City to St. Louis. That's enough for me.
I think St. Louis is a little more conservative. I don't think the Chiefs thing's going to fly there in St. Louis.
I don't think
it's going to fly because that's the whole reason why they got the blue.
Hold on a second. Listen to me. The last team that was there was a fucking Rams. Yeah. Where is a goddamn Ram in St. Louis? They got no fucking logic
but
there.
I'm sticking with my billionaire not spending my money.
You can see this with a lot of teams. You can see that with a lot of teams' logos. They don't make any
sense. That's what I mean. Kansas City owner is greedy as fuck, right? We ain't talking about Shaheeb there for the Phoenix Suns.
We will see. I think we're going to see here. This is going to become a very cool debate if it does
happen. We just got done talking about how much the Kansas City locker room sucked dick. You think this guy's going to pay for a fucking rebranding? You're crazy, man.
Did you see that they got all like D and C grades on their whole stadium?
Yes.
And even their players are like,
Listen, D's get degrees and they're winning fucking championships. What the hell? I didn't tell you if you win a championship, I'll give you a better locker room like the fucking Vikings in the 70s who couldn't fit the goddamn bill. They got a dome before they got heated seats.
You probably don't remember when Lambeau and Soldier Field had the troughs, right? You were standing next to dudes pissing in a trough, a pig trough.
I grew up with troughs. Yeah, I remember this.
The high school stadiums had them.
You had the ice in it. Yeah, the ice and everything.
Just dicks out elbow to elbow for
take your cup out. That's not refill your cup ice, but yeah.
Yeah, I sure the fuck hope that. You imagine a little kid running in there. You're like, oh, forever.
It doesn't taste like lemon, for real.
It's not a lemon head.
No, listen, Kansas City isn't rebranding. That dude is a stint. That ain't Walmart money. You don't just give Russell Wilson $90 million to go home. Hell no, you're keeping the jerseys. I'm keeping the color. At best, we're taking out the KC because that's two letters, and I'm switching it with SL because that's two fucking letters. And you're going to be the SLC. Market the fuck out of it and get out of my house.
It can't be SC or SL.
It can't be SLC because they've got St. Louis or Salt Lake City. SC, STL.
STC.
Tell that to the St. Louis Cardinals.
The abbreviation is STL.
STL is St. Louis. Yeah.
I'm saying if they're moving it to St. Louis, that would be, I take out the KC.
Just like the Rams used to
and
be.
And put STL in there. Or just.
You're asking for a whole nother letter here, man. Where do you think I'm getting this money? Where do you think I'm getting this fucking money?
Philly's got three.
One whole fucking letter. Where am I going to get the money to do this?
The city.
We'll ask St. Louis to do it. St. Louis
thinking they're in KC. Where KC's the one telling them that. Fuck you. No, you get that.
The money don't grow on trees. How did I become a billionaire? All right, am I spending other people's money?
You better put that STL on that
logo. Yeah, you better put that STL on that logo. I ain't paying for that STL logo on there. Charles, like, if you gotta pay for the extra letter, two assholes.
That's what I'm saying. I'm bringing you the ketchup king. You take it, and you give me three letters.
I don't know. But you guys are right. This is not going to be a quick process. This is going to be 5 years, if not longer than that, down the road.
It might be a really crappy
process.
Didn't
the Baltimore Colts leave in one night? It can be.
You could leave in one day. Yeah, they could just say.
Yeah.
It's a small bus ride. I got to pay a lot for gas. I'm telling you.
That's true. I mean, that from St. Louis to from Kansas City to St. Louis is only a couple hours away, so it's not like you're moving across the country.
I leave at midnight. I'm there before 6 a.m. And the city I'm going to is loving life. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Does St. Louis still have the Rams, the old Rams stadium?
The Battlehawks are playing in it. Yeah.
Battlehawks
Yeah, you ain't moving overnight. Yeah, you ain't moving. The whole ass stadium's being built. What's going there? I don't know.
I need to tell you, Charles, if they're bringing in an NFL team, that the other team's getting kicked out.
Yeah.
Hold on. Listen, whoa. If I'm moving my fucking team, I'm moving it to a new fucking stadium. You ain't putting me in that bullshit.
You don't move it to a new stadium if you're moving overnight.
You're going to start the build next fucking year. Small moments before that, I did cancel out the overnight thing. I said, oh, fuck, it can't be overnight. They got to build a new stadium.
Overnight you don't build a stadium in 1-2 years.
It takes three or four years
to build a stadium.
We can contract Dubai workers. They have that shit done on a Thursday.
Charles, bring it up again. Bring up the fact that they built about the rope right now. They can't over a bridge. Charles brought this up to me one time, and we looked it up and we watched the video. We watched a time lapse video of like what the fuck? I don't even remember what country it was, but they fucked up a bridge, tore a bridge down, took a bridge out, rebuilt the bridge, built a road back over it, and I think it was like over a weekend they did this.
Yeah.
Country. It was like a mile long bridge.
But that one bridge is going to take 10 years.
Yeah.
I tell you what, if the state legalizes weed and then you put weed money in the roads, you don't have to milk those jobs for 10 years because so much more work opens up. It's weird how that works out.
Yeah.
Fucking politics. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think everybody's rubbing their eyes and freaking getting ready to roll.
Yeah, no, I love it. Here's the thing. We're coming up on draft day. What is this? Thursday. We're coming up on draft day. We're going to have trivia. We're going to have time to bounce around. We're going to have time to talk. So the trivia is not going to be a headliner. It's going to be a space filler. So as the draft picks come in, we're going to talk about it. If it's exciting, we've got a little bit to talk about. But in between those moments, that dead space, that's when we're going to do a little bit of trivia.
What you should do is you should give us at least four options. You should give us an A, B, C, D. This is going to be a little more difficult. Charles is not going to fucking make this easy on us.
I see you want a fucking participation trophy. Go sign up for a fifth grade spelling bee.
I do. All right? I don't want a participation trophy. I just want to be able to compete because I feel
you'll be able to compete. Y'all going to be walking through the same shit. It's going to be thick and heavy.
Some of these answers are going to be. And you know what else? This is going to be live, right, Charles?
I'll give you a hint to the first question right off the bat. When did Bob Saget enter daytime television?
1984.
I don't know. I haven't looked up the answer, but those are going to be some of the questions you get.
Hell, man. I thought you had an idea. I know we were trying to figure it out.
You could have said fucking anything, and if it had enough confidence behind it, I would have said, yeah, absolutely. And on next week's episode...
What I think I was going to say, since we're so close
87
to
is the answer.
I was going to say 86.
I said 84.
What I was going to say, since we're so close to the draft, maybe our shows individually do our own top 50 big boards and put them on our YouTube pages as posts. So our people who are on the page can see who we think is where and for our top 50 big boards.
I like that. Also, at the same point, too, I think if people, our listeners, if they've been listening to the show, they've got a pretty good idea on who we think is going to go where. I do like it extended out to that number, though. We've hovered mostly in 1 through 10 and 20 through 25.
Yeah, I think that if we do not necessarily a top 50 draft order, but our big board, who are the top 50 players, you think, in the entire draft, and then post those, because I can do one on Canva. Actually, I can't because my laptop's fucking up. But we can get something done. I just think that there's so much shit that's getting ready. Day one of the draft is going to be insane.
I want to do this where we break down, we critique all of the picks, and we give them a draft grade. Let's all give them a draft grade, too. I think that'll be fair. We'll go around the table. Give them a consensus draft grade.
We got a lot coming up because we were in the same pick position last year, and I believe it took 3 hours and 27 minutes to get there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
7 minutes in, where the fuck you're sitting, man.
Our first live ever was a draft.
Yeah, and it went three hours and 27 fucking minutes.
We're trying to make it 3 years in a row, though.
Yeah. We were up till 10 o'clock. You shouldn't. We were up till 10 o'clock that night. No, it was pretty rough.
Are we gonna do all three nights?
We'll just do first round. Yeah.
Thursday
night works for me.
Absolutely. Because then we could break off on the individual shows and break it out.
Let's do first round Thursday. Sunday we'll do our recap.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's perfect.
We'll recap our draft. We'll recap all of our teams. We'll critique all the picks. We'll try to pick apart some of the picks, some of the teams that made shitty picks that we think made shitty picks.
Yeah.
I think that'll be good.
Yeah. And I'm thinking potential giveaways on these live draft episode also.
Oh, Charles.
I'll be kind of excited about that. So I think what we'll end up doing. Nope, y'all will cheat. I'll figure it out.
I'm not cheating.
No, not you, the listeners. Put up a poll question and whoever gets the answer right, but you just fucking Google that shit. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was about to say there's no accountability there.
Wow, y'all got a bunch of guilty ass consciences or something. Holy fuck,
brother! We were in the military. What's that famous saying?
Fuck. You know when I figure out what I got to do next? When the door closes behind me. That's when I fucking figure out what I got to do next.
Not everybody's you, Charles.
Until that door fucking closes, I can still turn around, all right? That's what I'm saying, for real, for real. For all of our listeners out there, all of our likers, our subscribers, our sharers, our commenters, thank you so much. We love you. We appreciate you so much. There's multiple giveaways going on. For example.
I think that's your cue.
Oh, shit, I'm high. Sorry. Look, draft night one. We're going to do something pretty different. So I want to do not only a t-shirt giveaway, but I want to do a mug giveaway and a hat giveaway. Ooh. So we'll do a first, second, and third prize giveaways. What those are going to be, maybe there's trivia questions. Maybe there are a secret phrase you'll have to listen to. I will confirm. Yeah, maybe you have to watch for in some succession, crazy eyes.
Clip the crazy eye face and put it on a shirt.
Charles.
So, yeah, we'll do... The Heat Check will do a first, second, and third place, and we'll do three different things you have to watch for or comments or whatever, and we'll go from there.
So it'll be like a little bit of an Easter egg, which you will be able to catch on our upcoming live show via the draft. Of course, the Boys of the Woods podcast have their giveaways going on, one of which is the Hobby Horse T-shirt contest, where all you have to do is be a subscriber, like the YouTube page, and comment on any one of these videos that we talk about it. I want the t-shirt. For everybody else out there, the world is a much better place with you in it. Please, smile more.
I hate to be that guy. Demium Loader still only has 35 points.
Yeah.